Today's episode of Distorted View features additional content for Sideshow members only.
Ting.
Oh, mama. It's Sextastic Tuesday. On Distorted View.
I fucking love you. I love you. I fucking love you. Yeah. Jeff loves Patrick. Jeff loves Patrick. Masturbator. I'm a masturbator. I'm a fucking gooner bater.
Hey freaks, it's Tuesday, March 10th, 2009. Coming up on the program today, a party simply not complete without the crisp, smooth taste of Auschwitz. Plus, the monkey future is drawing near. Dun, dun, dun. And NAMBLA manages to get itself in trouble, tarnishing its once pristine public image. All of this plus short emails today on an extended edition of Distorted View Daily.
It's the Distorted View Show with Tim Henson.
Yes, Timothy James Henson with you. This is the Distorted View Show. Thank you guys so much for checking out the Tuesday podcast. Got a great program for you. Brand new edition of Sextastic Tuesday. We're going to get into it right now. For those of you who are new to the program, maybe you haven't experienced this, basically Sextastic Tuesday is a simple bit where we try to find the worst possible sex stories online. Now, usually there are two types of Sextastic Tuesday, or ST as I like to call it. I've never called it ST before. Yes, there are two different types of Sextastic Tuesday stories. The first kind being just filthy, disgusting, bizarre sex stories, right? Those are the type we usually read. But then there's a second type. These are stories that are not necessarily exceptionally raunchy. That's how I say raunchy. Raunchy. But they're poorly written. Maybe English is not the native language of the author. These stories are hilariously painful to read. And that's why I don't do many of them, although I have one of those for you today. Let's get into it right now. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Sextastic Tuesday.
It's Sextastic.
As an hors d'oeuvre, I have a few erotic poems I'd like to share with you. These were actually written by high school students who were killing time in class, not paying attention to the teacher. Well, they got into the wrong hands and were promptly posted online. So here we go. Ahem. The first poem. Horniest poem I wrote. Your body makes me horny. I'm jacking off. In the bed, I want to play a game of golf. What? You stiffen my dick. It pops up. I take it out of your pussy and I ram it into your butt. You're screaming. I'm enjoying. I pull it out and watch you toying. Rhymes. You moan so loud, you woke up the neighbors. We tell them to shut their fucking ears. We go back at it. I'm sucking on your nipple. The moans come in triple. He was really trying to rhyme nipple. That's the best you could do, triple. We have sex all night. I'm mad now because we can't have this every night. That was the horniest poem I wrote. Next up, you are a hottie. Girl, you know you a hottie. I'm reading it exactly as it was written. Girl, you know you a hottie. Shirt off, pants down, you got a body. Teasing, touching yourself, you got me. Heading to the room to get naughty. From your lips to getting your legs departed. Fingering you and it sounded like it farted. This cannot be real. Looked at me as if I was going to quit when I just started banging like a club where you had to be carded. Pussy so wet, making me sweat, feel the heat as if we cooking meat. Quietly, I hear you moan, all up inside you, I kill what you've shown. I'm not sure what kill what you've shown means. Is that some sort of abortion reference? And finally, this is called Patience. I actually have this chick's MySpace page if you want to check it out. As you caress down my gentle, spelled wrong, thigh, spelled wrong. Gentle is spelled G-E-N-T-A-L. And thighs, very creative spelling, T-H-E-I-G-H-S. All right. As you caress down my gentle thighs to open my legs wide so you could admire my most prize, you kiss my most sensitive spot. As I begin to shiver, spelled wrong, I nibble on my bottom lip. You start massassing. Assuming she meant massaging, but it came out massassing. You start massassing the inside of me with your tongue up and down, left and right. I start meowning. Yeah, it wasn't moaning. It was meowning. As I start meowning with pleasure, then you lick up my belly, leaving a line of salive behind, leading to my nipples as you pull roughly. Then you slip your... Get ready for the line of the fucking century. Then you slip your big rectum into my vagina, making me grid my nails deeply into your hard body. Let me read that again. Keep in mind, the word is rectum and vagina. V-E-R-G-I-N-A. Then you slip your big rectum into my vagina, making me grid my nails deeply into your hard body, leaving me satisfied, spelled wrong. I drift to sleep, thinking of the passion that was just left behind. Glorious pieces of literature there. Now, the reason why I read those is because today's story is a little bit shorter. Also, English is not the author's native language, so this is going to be a clusterfuck. All right. Ken is tall, dark, slim, would not say bad-looking, has good-sized cock, I've only seen it soft. Pity. That's the first sentence, if you want to call it that. All right. Alice is smaller in height. Nice big tits. Got a bit of a belly. Always talks dirty. Not bad legs. Nice ass and nice looking, but no film star. Ken came to fix my PC one day as it was playing up, and I could not download, two separate words, any films or music. After he sorted it out for me, I showed him what I had downloaded, telling him the gay porn was for a guy at work. Why would you show someone, like, oh, I'm going to show you some gay porn, but it's not mine. This is someone else's. Like, just don't show him gay porn at all, and then he won't think you're gay. All right. Telling him the gay porn was for a guy at work. Have any of you guys ever given a coworker gay porn? Hey, Charles from Accounts Receivable, come here for a second. Hey, I heard you were gay, so I made you a little present. I burned you a copy of Rimshot 7. It's 2 hours of all man-on-man ass-licking. You're welcome. So yeah, that's a weird thing to give a coworker. All right, back to the story here. I was a bit shocked when he said that his wife would love some of this. At first I thought, sure, you mean you would like some of it. But after a time, I found out Alice loved gay animal piss, M and S. I'm not entirely sure... What the author's trying to say here. I found out Alice loved gay animal piss, M and S. In fact, all porn. But she loved bisexual, transsexual. So I took the most perverted gay sex films I had, put them on dicks. I think he meant discs. Could be wrong there. And gave them to him for Alice to watch. It was about a week later. I was at his house... Alice was sat on... Oh, my God. The story is full of fail. All right. It was about a week later. I was at his house. Alice was sat on the sofa reading while he and I sat at his PC. Alice was in a bathrobe and Ken was sat in his boxer shorts. I was not sure if I had disturbed them in the middle of something. Thinking about that made my cock stiffen and jump. Then, putting his finger to his lips as if to say, "Don't say anything," he pressed a button. On the screen came a picture of Alice. She was wearing French knickers with matching half-cutaway bra nylons and half-heels. Her large tits were well on show then.
Whoa.
And the story has come to a screeching halt yet again as I try to figure out what he's trying to say here. All right. Okay. Her large tits were on display, maybe? Like, her large tits were well on show. Okay. Then he clicked the mouse again. And the next picture, the bra was gone. Poof. As he showed more pictures, so did Alice in them. Until she was stood naked in her high heels, her tits were magnificent. I'm assuming he meant were, because magnificent is not a place. All right. In case any of you don't know what the hell's going on here because you can't understand what's being read, apparently this guy is looking at Ken's computer, and on Ken's computer there are naked pictures of Ken's wife. I don't know if he noticed, but my cock was rock hard, but I noticed his was, and it was long in his shorts. It was then I heard a voice behind me. "Go on, you want to get a hold of it and feel how hot and hard it is?" When I turned my head, Alice was stood in her leather gear, including the strap-on. Okay. Where the hell? She's like a magician. Poof, she's gone. And then she appears with a dildo strapped onto her cunt. "Feel this as well," she said as she pushed the strap-on towards me. Like as if in a trance, I took a hold of both cocks. His hard cock, and felt like velvet. Hers felt real, but for its coldness. Okay. My eyes on her large breasts. Alice noticed me looking and lifted one to her mouth. Then she said, "If you suck both cocks, you can suck this." Showing me how big and hard her nipples had become. At first, I took his cock into my mouth and I sucked the shaft down my throat. Even as I enjoyed it, I pulled my head away and took her dildo into my mouth. As I sucked on it, I felt her wet cunt lips with my fingers. Alice gave a little wiggle, then used the crop on my back. "I'll tell you when you can touch my cunt." The word cunt coming from her mouth dressed like that was so erotic. "Strip, strip naked, then you can suckle on my nipples." Alice then said, "I'm gonna fuck your slut ass while you suck on that pervert's cock. Now bend over the back of that chair to be fucked and suck cock at the same time." I did as I was told, spreading my legs ready for her strap-on cock, at the same time taking his hot, throbbing, stiff cock down my throat. She worked the dildo up my asshole. As Alice held onto my hips, working the dildo in and out of my ass, Alice was swearing at Ken, saying how every time she met a guy, he would use him as a faggot. "Pull on my tits, you faggot, milk them! You can both drink my milk, bite my nipples, then piss all over me." Alice was ramming my ass with the dildo. The string after string of hot spunk flooded my mouth as I swallowed them down, not wanting to spill a drop of my first load from him. Alice was ramming my ass until she collapsed over my back. Then I drove my cock into her asshole, and she bucked back at me, and I fucked her till my hot cum filled her hole. When I finished and pulled out of her hot ass, Ken was soon there sucking my cock clean. We left Alice to take a shower and both went downstairs where our clothes were. As I bent to pick up my clothes, I think we all know what's going to happen here, Ken took a hold of my hips and I felt his big hard cockhead rubbing at my hole. Ken sort of stopped as I moved but began pushing his big cock up my ass when I rubbed my hole against him. As I laid over the back of the sofa, he began to fuck my ass while holding my hips. As he rode my willing asshole, Alice walked into the room. Showered and wearing her bathrobe, she stood and watched while Ken raped my hole. All of a sudden, his English got a whole lot better, huh? When Ken's breathing began to labor and his thrust got harder and sharper, Kate was stood next to us. I have no idea who Kate is, do you? Back to the story here. Ken shooted out... Yeah, shooted. Ken shooted out he was going to spunk. Alice was on her knees, his cock pulled from my hole, and she took the whole shaft down her throat. Alice drank his load of cum while cleaning his cock after being up my ass. I had to dress and leave reluctantly. Spelled with a K. Somewhere in reluctantly there was a K. I didn't know that. I left them with Ken on all fours and Alice rimming his ass, her bathrobe open, I could see the big strap-on. Smiling to myself, I left my cock starting to stiffen again. The end. What a disaster. That, my friends, is your Sextastic Tuesday for March 10th, 2009. And with that, let's get into the crazy, bizarre, twisted, and fucked up news right now. SuperFreakSideshow.com is Distorted View's member site. If you are not signed up, please consider it. It's only $5 a month or $50 a year. SuperFreakSideshow.com. You get full access to the entire archive of programs. Plus, we do extended shows, exclusive shows, and video casts. This past weekend, did a bonus episode. Yesterday, posted a video cast. And today, we've got an extended program for you. SuperFreakSideshow.com, and for a very limited time, if you'd like, you can sign up for a lifetime membership for only $200. I know it's kind of a lot, but, you know, then you'll never have to worry about PayPal taking any more money, you know, monthly reoccurring charges or yearly reoccurring charges, nothing like that. I know a lot of people are getting their tax refunds back, so it's a good time to offer that. All right, three quick stories, then we'll get the hell out of here. All right, look, guys, I am going to suggest something that may not be popular, but I think we should go ahead and kill all monkeys. Now, I don't know how that's going to affect the food chain and different ecosystems and all that other bullshit, but if we don't take care of this problem now, we're all going to be in a world of hurt. A new day has dawned. We are on the brink of a monkey future. I've been saying this now for, what, 2 years? And it's finally coming to fruition. When I first warned you of this, I was mocked and ridiculed. And I am still mocked and ridiculed, and shit like this is happening. You know, monkeys are ripping people's faces off. They're learning how to use tools. Well, now, today's first story comes from Stockholm, Sweden. A canny chimpanzee who calmly collected a stash of rocks and then hurled them at zoo visitors in fits of rage has confirmed that apes can plan ahead just like humans. Look, I don't want to get into a big debate about what constitutes a monkey and a gorilla or a chimp, whatever. They're all the same. It doesn't matter. They're all organizing. According to a report in the journal Current Biology, the 31-year-old alpha male started building his weapons cache in the morning before the zoo opened, collecting rocks and knocking out discs from concrete boulders inside his enclosure. He waited until around midday before he unleashed a hailstorm of rocks against visitors. Now, because I am not just someone who whines and complains and, you know, asks other people to fight his battles, I've come up with an idea that'll give us an upper hand in the war with the monkey kind. You know how lion tamers use a chair? The reason why they use it is because lions get mesmerized with the legs of the chair, but never all of them at the same time, so their attention is constantly being diverted. And henceforth, they are subdued. So we need to find the monkey's weak spot, which I have. They love bananas, which means they would be mesmerized and stunned by...
It's Nanerpus!
You can call me the Nanerpus, Nanerpus. And guess what? I love...
A giant singing banana on top of pancakes! Monkeys won't be able to resist! Are you telling me they could resist a talking banana on top of delicious syrupy pancakes? No! No sane monkey could! We will use their love of the yellow fruit against them and destroy their prospects of a monkey future. Don't knock my idea. It's a good one. And if you don't like it, come up with something better. How about that? Be proactive instead of a dick. I don't take criticism well. All right, back to the story here. Quote, these observations convincingly show us that our fellow apes do consider the future. That just took the breath right out of me. These observations convincingly show that our fellow apes do consider the future in a very complex way. Yes, the monkey future, said the author of the report, London University PhD student Matthias Osvath. It implies that they have a highly developed consciousness, including lifelike mental simulations of potential events. Hell yeah, this is chilling shit. Seemingly at ease with his position as leader of the group, Santino didn't attack the other chimpanzees. The attacks were only directed at humans viewing the apes across the moat surrounding the island compound where they were held. Is this gonna be another fucking Waco? I can't take it. They've already got a base set up, and they're defending it. So help me God, if the Russians sell them artillery or something, we're doomed. Osvath said the chimpanzee had also been observed tapping on concrete boulders in the park to identify weak parts and then knocking out a piece. If it was too big for throwing, he broke it into smaller pieces before adding them to his arsenal. It's very special that he first realizes that he can make these and then plans on how to use them, Osvath said. Why are you so nonchalant about this? Oh, this is very special. No, it's horrifying. It's horrifying, Osvath. If you were smart, you would take a gun and blow him away before he assembles a monkey military unit. And here's some further proof we're fucked. The fact that the ape stayed calm while preparing his weapons, but used them when he was extremely agitated, proves that the planning behavior was not based on an immediate emotional drive. So all these monkeys in zoos can just sit there, planning their attack. And then, when the moment's right, they strike. Next thing you know, humans are the ones in diapers, cracking nuts over their heads and shit. For a while, zookeepers tried locking Santino up in the morning so he couldn't collect ammunition for his assaults, but he remained aggressive. They ultimately decided to castrate him in the autumn of last year. Alright, now they're doing something smart. Who's gonna follow a castrated monkey? He can't even protect himself. Yes, they ultimately decided to castrate him in the autumn of last year, but we'll have to wait until the summer to see if that helps. The chimpanzees are only kept outdoors between April and October, and Santino's special behavior usually starts in June. Spring fever! Second story we have for you today comes from New York. Oh no. Nambla, Nambla, Nambla. They just can't get it right, can they? Yes, a $10,000 internet bounty was placed on Attorney General Andrew Cuomo's head by a suspected agent of the North American Man-Boy Love Association. The shocking death threat by the infamous organization of pedophiles was posted 3 weeks ago on an internet news group bulletin board that originated in the Bronx. The threat, described by a source as unprecedented because it's believed to come from an organization, prompted a sweeping and ongoing probe by the Attorney General's office and at least one other law enforcement organization, and subpoenas were issued. The reward was offered under the headline, $10,000 to shoot Andrew Cuomo in the face. Okay, well that's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Quote, I am an official of NAMBLA, and I can confirm that we have raised the cash to reward any individual who manages to accomplish this task. Thank you. At least they're polite. That goes a long way. The message, which investigators have linked to an imprisoned pervert with strong NAMBLA ties, and whom Cuomo's office is seeking to keep behind bars under a civil commitment law, was spotted by a citizen who brought it to the attention of Verizon, his internet service provider. Law enforcement sources declined to reveal the imprisoned man's identity, but an informant connected to the man's case told investigators NAMBLA is, in fact, out to kill Cuomo. An investigator said, it's our understanding that people in the, and I hate to call it this, pedophile community are angry at Cuomo's office because he's been making the internet service providers take responsibility for policing child pornography. And really, child porn is what makes NAMBLA go round, if you will. It's their nectar, or masturbatory life force, or mana. I prefer masturbatory life force, but that's just me. Cuomo's office has kept at least 75 convicted sexual predators, including several linked to NAMBLA, in state prisons under a tough new civil commitment law approved in 2007. The measure allows sexually violent offenders. It's not violent if it's consensual. Love is blind. Thank God, because otherwise no disgusting 60-year-old men would ever be getting laid. It just happens to be easier to get laid by impressionable young children. Instead of roofying someone's drink, you just have to promise them an Elmo doll. Boom, you're in their pants. A Cuomo spokesman called the threat an ongoing security matter that we take very seriously. NAMBLA, once a publicly active organization with chapters in New York City and on the West Coast, has largely been driven underground by a series of criminal prosecutions, lawsuits, and aggressive infiltration by law enforcement organizations. So they still operate that website, though, NAMBLA.org. Final story we have for you today. Kids are stupid. How stupid are they? Well, they think Auschwitz is a type of beer. How's that for stupid? Hundreds of British school children... Auschwitz has a unique taste. What is that, the hops?
No, it's just that unmistakable Jew-brewed Auschwitz taste.
What the hell does that mean? Seriously, you don't want to know.
There's a reason Auschwitz was named the ashiest tasting beer at the 23rd Annual International Beer Competition in Poland.
Tastes like Jews. All right, back to the story here. Hundreds of British school children believe Auschwitz is the name of a beer, religious festival, or type of bread instead of the infamous Nazi death camp. More than 1,000 high school students aged between 11 and 16 were asked what they knew about Auschwitz, where about 1.3 million people died during World War II. 10% said they were unsure, while 8% believed Auschwitz was a country bordering Germany. 2% said it was a beer, another 2% said a religious festival, and 1% said it was a type of bread. 6 in 10 students also had no idea about Hitler's final solution, which of course was a plan to exterminate all Jews, one of Hitler's better ideas, with a 5th saying they thought it was the name of peace talks to end the war, which is the exact opposite of what it was, really. 97%, however, were able to identify Nazi dictator Adolf Hitler from a photograph. The mustache gives it away every time. The other 3% thought it was Charlie Chaplin. It's estimated that among Britain's 4.5 million 11 to 16-year-olds, 90,000 believe Auschwitz was a drink and 45,000 thought it was a type of bread. I sense a huge marketing opportunity. That, my friends, is your distorted news for Tuesday. Let's do a couple voicemails and get the hell out of here. All right, let's check in with my freaky deekies here.
Hey, Tim. This is a California Sideshow member. I was reminded of this when you had a listener recently call in and talk about how the curry smell reminds him of sex or something because he was banging an Indian chick, which, first of all, I don't buy any of that. But that's not the reason I'm calling. I had an experience with that. I worked on a cruise ship for a couple months, and they would serve curry in the cafeteria every single day, and there was a shitload of Indians working on the boat, and close quarters, not a pleasant mix.
No.
And there was one guy in particular.
Why would you serve curry on a cruise ship?
He'd be in the gym, and the moment that he started sweating,
yes,
you could literally smell curry and BO mix from outside of the gym door with it closed. I could literally walk by at 3 o'clock and know that he was in there because I could smell him from outside the fucking door. It's insane. He blew me out. I had to rework my gym schedule just because this fucking stinky-ass Indian motherfucker was such a sweaty pile of curry-eating shit that he made my life a living hell. So that right there is evidence enough.
I mean, I gotta be honest with you. I've never tried curry because the smell ruined it for me. You know, when I was working at that testing center, these people would come in and eat curry, and they'd just be sweating curry out of their pores, and it made me gag. So now I can't even, like, just the smell of it is grossing me out. So it could be delicious, I don't know, but I'm just not willing to try it.
Olga, you haven't called me yet. Well, you see, I know maybe something's busy, maybe you were abused and you're a little timid around men, but I'm a very strong guy, I make great money, I'm dynamite, okay? I'm a real catch, so this is the deal. You gotta call me back by 4:30, otherwise I'm erasing your number. See? I just did it. So, 4:30, Olga. All right.
I hope to God that was a real voicemail for someone named Olga.
Get over there, Pat. Oh, good, Olga. Good girl. God dang, that's good.
Yes, Olga's good at sex. That reminds me of the other... Remember that voicemailer that came... it was a Sideshow exclusive one, but I think I played it for you non-paying members as well when the guy called in and he thought he got The View, not Distorted View. He thought he was contacting someone over there at that ABC show, The View, with Barbara Walters and Elizabeth Hasselbeck and Whoopi Goldberg and everything. And apparently he sent a package to Joy Behar and he wanted to make sure she got it. Sad man. Who knew Joy Behar had fans that sent her shit? Alright, a couple more here, of course.
Hey, Tim, this is Pat from Minneapolis, the Sideshow member.
First Olga, now Pat. God damn, that's good.
So you know, did he play that sex tape because it's St. Patrick's Day this Tuesday? And the worst part about it is that maybe it's a, another knowing your freak moment. The Irish guy kind of sounds like my grandfather who came over on the boat. So all I could think about is my grandparents fucking... Thanks for that.
It was really horrible acting, and the accent didn't help at all.
Chico, asshole.
Chico.
What's up? This is J-Dub here. I was calling in, first of all, to say kudos to whoever that was who rickrolled the entire Distorted View audience. I got a kick out of that. Especially when you put it to the crazy robotic voice manipulator shit. Anyway...
That leads me
into my story for a variety show at my school. I put together my rendition of Evolution of Dance. You can probably check that on YouTube if you haven't already. But I threw in the song I'm Too Sexy, and I'm pretty sure you know how that goes. Well, my routine was to start rocking out to that by taking off my Superman shirt. Now, I had a secret... Another Superman shirt underneath that one when I took it off to throw that one backstage and I had another one on. Well, somewhere when I was doing the worm during Electric Boogie, the other shirt came untucked. And when I went to take the first shirt off, the other one came off with it. So there I am, shirtless on stage in front of everybody. So that is my embarrassing moment, but I think it's kind of funny.
Well, it's only embarrassing if you've got, like, man boobs or something.
Hey, Timmy, Asparagus Freak. Hey, I want you to do me a favor.
Sure.
I just love hearing you fuck up people's last names. I just want to hear how you handle one.
Okay.
Do a Google News or something search on the frickin' governor from Illinois that got impeached.
Blagojevich?
He has last name and then pronounced
yes.
his name.
Blagojevich, Blagojevich, Blagojevich. I'm not that stupid. I've heard it before.
And it's Burn Cat here. I wanted to make two comments.
Okay.
First, about that lady...
This guy sounds like he might have a problem with my show.
Hey, Timmy. It's Burn Cat here. I wanted to make two comments.
Okay.
First, about that lady who called in with, you should apologize when you burn
Oh, he
fart.
Has a problem with her. Okay.
This show is about cum farts and every other possible disgusting, revolting thing you can think about, and you're angry... When he burps, really? I'm speaking directly to you, lady who was pissed off. And also, the lady who said that she doesn't like animal abuse, normally condones animal abuse, but if it happened already, it's okay to laugh at it. I love animals.
Yes, I do too. I have four dogs. I'm an animal lover, but come on. The screaming of cats clawing to get out of a shower, that's funny. All right, a couple more here.
Hey, Tim. It's the Left Sound Sideshow member calling. One thing I have to say. Starfish. Are you going to let me in?
Meet me at Cockeyed Dicks.
Hey, Tim. This is Rob from Cleveland checking
Rob.
In. And for the third time, I am now becoming thrice a Sideshow member.
What the hell happened? You canceled again?
Yes, I let my card expire and lapse, and I lost my Sideshow membership, but I've missed it so much. And now, let me click. Now, I'm a member again.
I jizzed a little bit in my pants.
Well, just wanted to shoot that to you, man. All right, keep up the good work.
Thank you.
And I'll talk to you later. Bye.
I love Rob from Cleveland. He's a good boy. And finally today.
Hey, Tim. I was just listening to your Friday podcast.
Yeah.
And in the opening mashup of whatever that guy's name is and your mom,
yeah,
I have to say that your mom sounds like a mega Jew, And I know you hate me for saying this. So.
My mom is Italian, pretty much. My grandmother and grandfather were both Italian. So, yeah.
Anyway.
Jew-Italian. They're similar, but different, too. It's funny because I'm mostly, out of anything, Italian. And I guess my ancestors were from a part of Italy where the sun does not shine because I'm incredibly pale and not very hairy either. And most Italians are darker skinned and hairy. I don't know what the hell happened there. All right, that is all the time we have on this edition of the show. I want you guys to email me, show@distortedview.com. Distortedview.com is our official website. Voicemail line 48 206-666-4463. That's 206-66-OH-GOD. Is it OH-GOD?
Oh, good, Olga.
Vote for us a podcast, Ali. Come on. It takes just a second. Like three clicks and you're done. It'll help us get in the top 10, and it'll help me not hate you. Subscribe via iTunes. Dig us on dig.com. If you guys are Sideshow members, stick around for extended content. Otherwise, we'll see you back tomorrow for the big Wednesday show. Until then, have a great day. Bye, everybody.